Show continues here. It's officially a Tuesday morning. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. We are live in the Skyline studio here until 4 a.m. We're going to remember James Lipton. James Lipton, the host of Inside the Actors Studio, passed away. He was 93, which I just was very surprised that he was 93 years old. He seemed younger to me. And we're going to play back some of the best of the Inside the Actors Studio, remember James Lipton. And then just in general, we're going to talk about some of the best interviewers ever, because he certainly was one of them. We're playing classic stand-up every morning on the show at 2:30. Some legendary Richard Lewis from 1981. And these are always, all the stand-up that we do are from The Tonight Show, from The Johnny Carson Show, which you can watch on Antenna TV every night. So 312-981-7200. If you have car-related questions or concerns, if you're thinking about buying a car or you're interested in something or you need some advice, 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200, because Tom Appel is here. Tom from Consumer Guide Automotive, how are you?
I am very well, thank you.
Good, good. Welcome again to the show, and tell everybody about Consumer Guide Automotive.
Yeah, Consumer Guide Automotive, consumerguide.com. We review new cars. We review used cars. We recently started a podcast. We also have a blog, which you can get to from consumerguide.com. But basically, it's just all sorts of car stuff. We do reviews. We try to talk about car culture. We look back at history. It's just a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's really great. And, you know, the podcast just recently, the one of the podcasts that you did featured our old friend Steve and Johnny.
Yes, yes, they were gracious enough to join us in studio for our last podcast. It was awesome.
Yeah.
So they shared a review with us. They talked a little bit about their book, and they took part in a car sales quiz.
Oh.
I don't want to say who won, but one of them won.
Oh. Well, people can find out by listening to the podcast.
Yes.
By downloading the podcast and listening to it. Steve and Johnny always been big into cars.
Yes.
They would do their radio test drive. Which they still do every once in a while, right?
They still do. They also put together 7, 8, 9 minute videos, which they share with us. So consumerguide.com is actually the home of a number of Steve and Johnny video reviews.
That's great. And they I basically inherited you as a guest from them. Because they had you on the show all the time, and we love you, so that's why we have you on. So very cool stuff right there. So if you want to hear some Steve and Johnny on the podcast, you go to consumerguide.com and get those podcasts going. I'm looking at one of the things that was posted up on the Facebook page here, and it's from your blog. It's from the blog, and it's the 2020 Jaguar XE P250S. Wow, what a cool looking car.
That is a great-looking car, and it's kind of a shame that Jaguar can't give it away.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Jaguar revamp. This is Jaguar's compact sedan, and it should compete with the BMW 3 Series, a vehicle which still sells fairly well. But for whatever reason, customers are not looking in this direction, and it's kind of a shame. It is a good-looking car. It is very refined inside, and it's all sorts of fun to drive. It is not as overtly sporty, perhaps, as a BMW,
mm-hmm.
but it has its own sort of mature charm, and I really like the car. But it's not selling well, but it's probably below it. If you have the money, and if you're looking for a car in this category, this is probably something you should be test driving.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking at it right now, and it is just it's a kind of a badass looking car.
It really is.
Yeah.
It really is.
And what are we talking about? How much are you going to drop on this if you're going to get one?
You can do one of these, probably put one together under 50, but you're going to probably be in the mid-50s with stuff.
Mm-hmm. With with stuff. All right.
Yeah.
So some of the other auto news that we want to get to, we have a bunch of that stuff to get to. And we also, the phone lines and the text lines are open for you. If you have a question about a car, if you're looking to get one, if you need advice, we want to hear from you at 312-981-7200. So the coronavirus obviously is all over the news.
Right.
And it's expected to slam 2020 global car sales.
It is, in a very strange way. Measured globally, obviously Chinese car sales matter, but the Chinese do not export whole vehicles in any large numbers. So you would think this would be largely contained there, but like the virus, their problems are sneaking out. And one of the problems is that China produces a considerable amount of the parts that are used to build cars globally. So even here in North America, they're starting to feel the pinch because a lot of things have closed down over there. Around the city of Wuhan, which is a huge manufacturing area, all sorts of factories and related industries, a lot of Tier 1 and Tier 2 suppliers have shut down, and that affects everybody. And one of the problems that the U.S. manufacturers have is they have an unusually small supply of vehicles right now. So if things don't resume to some sort of normal operation relatively soon, we're going to feel the pinch here, and you will probably see assembly lines either slow down or shut down.
Wow. Well, this is really affecting the whole world.
It is, yeah. It's funny the different ways it does. And the auto world, obviously, is just a small part of that, but it feels huge when you look at it.
How much of a hit money-wise is this going to take?
That's a great question. I don't know any sort of numbers that anyone's applying to this yet. But any time you have to shut down a factory, it's incredibly expensive.
Yeah.
Especially a union factory, because a lot of those workers get paid whether the factory is running or not. Mm. So it could be a huge dent in profits.
Well, we will keep our eyes on that, and we'll keep you posted on updates anytime we get that. But you can read that article. We've got it here. And 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Tom Appel is with us. If you have any automotive or car-related question, you're looking to buy a car, you need some advice, 312-981-7200. Tom Appel is here, and we will continue with our conversation right here on 720 WGN. Nick DiGilio here and continuing on 720 WGN, live in the Skyline studio on a Tuesday morning. 312-981-7200. That's the phone number for any and all car or automotive-related questions. If you're looking to buy a car and you need some advice, Tom Appel is here, 312-981-7200 from Consumer Guide Automotive. Tom?
Yeah?
What have you been driving lately?
Oh, great question. I am driving the Hyundai Kona right now. This is Hyundai's new compact crossover. It's actually a subcompact crossover. It was the smallest car in Hyundai's lineup until they came out with the Venue, which is even tidier. We'll see if I fit in that or not. But I like the Kona a lot. You've probably seen them on the road. They're very popular. But this one is completely loaded. Every possible option comes to $32,000, so it's kind of a deal.
Mm.
Kind of a deal. It's still $2,000 less than the average. What is it? No, it's $5,000 less than the average price of a new car. But it's powered by a little 1.6-liter turbocharged engine that gets the job done. The interior is nice. It's fun to drive, and surprisingly roomy.
Wow. Okay, that's great. What else has been driven around with you guys over a Consumer Guide?
I spent the weekend in the Genesis G70, which is the new Genesis compact crossover. I'm sorry, compact sedan. Actually, it would compete with that Jaguar we just talked about.
Mm.
I like it a lot. I wish I fit in it. Like so many European rear drive cars, the doors are really small, so it's kind of a squeeze for me to get in and out of. But if you fit in this car, it's a great car. It's a great deal. All sorts of power, great looking. Meant to compete against the BMW 3 Series, and it kind of does. It's certainly a lot cheaper than that. So it's kind of a value play for people looking for that kind of car.
Oh, okay. All right. And you guys report on all of this stuff at consumer.com. So if you want to get a report, we had some, we have some calls coming in, Tom, for people who have some car automotive related questions.
Okay.
312-981-7200. Phone lines and text lines are open. Here's Brian on WGN. Hi, Brian.
Hey, Nick. How's it going? I just want to ask Tom, how's it going?
Good. Thank you.
I was going to see what you thought about when they redesigned the Ford GT. Why did they have to ruin it? I like the one from 18 years ago, or was it from 2003 when they came out with that again? Because they couldn't redo the 66. They couldn't call it GT40, but they called it just Ford GT. That was great. I love that early design. And then when they redid it again, they're trying to make it like an MR2 or make it look like something. They ruined it. They made it look like everything else. Why did they do that?
Well, I kind of agree with you. I think the car from about 20 years ago was better looking. I absolutely agree with you. But they're answering the call of aerodynamics. Everyone's searching for top speed and track stability. And we know a lot more about aerodynamics now than we did 10, 15, even 20 years ago, thanks to computer modeling. And the result is cars that are more aerodynamic and look downright funky. Some people love the look, that sort of Batmobile look. Other people don't. And I think you and I are on the same page here.
Yeah. I don't know if they're still using a 302 or 305 and whatever they have. They did the same thing with the Z4. It was the Z3. And then it went to M5 when they put a 6 in it. That was great. Then they ruined it with the Z4. And I'm going, why did they do that?
We are going. I think you're right. We're going through a controversial period of styling right now.
Yeah.
I think we can all agree.
All right, Brian. Thanks, man.
Hey, thank you, guys.
Take care. Very passionate about the... Oh, man. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. How often over the years, Tom, what have been some of the more radical redesigns? Like, I mean, you know, because they've done some radical redesigns of cars that we all know and love. What were some of the more radical ones?
Wow, that's a good question. I'm trying to think of some here. One of the most interesting, and I don't know why they did this, the Chevy Malibu, for whatever reason, was kind of a very clean car when it was redesigned in the early aughts, sometime around 2003, 2004, something like that. And then for reasons that aren't clear to me, they replaced that car with an extremely chiseled-looking vehicle. It was very different looking. It was controversial, and it didn't seem like a good play for Chevy. And ultimately, it really wasn't. Mm. And then when they replaced the Malibu again, it was entirely different, looking a little bit more like the Impala. That vehicle's been since discontinued, so the whole story's for naught. But yeah, it was a very weird series of redesigns, and I don't really know what they were trying to accomplish.
You know, it's funny. You can, our listener Brian, there are people who are very passionate about, you know, certain cars and how they look, and when they do change them, people get upset.
Oh, yeah. It's like the Corvette, the C8 Corvette. Most of the world is just on fire happy about this mid-engine thing that happened to the Corvette, and it's largely sold out. But other people are just kind of taken aback by the fact that it doesn't look like a Corvette anymore. And the problem is that when you move the engine from the front of the car to the middle of the car, all the proportions change.
Right.
So it can't look like a Corvette did.
Yeah. That's I don't know. It's weird. It's weird. But I just love that, you know, so many of the listeners are passionate about about their cars and how they look. Why did they ruin it? The guy was saying. So 312-981-7200 is the phone number for any and all car and automotive related questions for text and talk. 312-981-7200. The news story here from NBC News: Britain is to ban the sale of new gas, diesel, and hybrid cars from 2035.
Yeah.
So what's going on with that?
That is interesting. And this is an extension. I think we're just seeing Europe get very, very, very serious about pushing forward any sort of electric vehicle movement. The first, we knew that cities like London, for example, are taxing gasoline vehicles at certain times of the day when they drive into the center of the city. And that, for one reason or another, is a great incentive for you to be getting an electric vehicle. But now they're talking about completely outlawing internal combustion-powered vehicles. So gasoline or diesel. The word hybrid doesn't change anything because that's still powered by gasoline. It's just a little bit more efficient.
Yeah.
But 2035 is a pretty interesting target, because the electric vehicles are more or less going to be available by then. You just need a public that's willing to buy them. But if they have no choice, I guess that's an incentive.
What's the reason for this? I mean, have they stated their reasons?
Oh, I think that this is, people have tried to incentive, governments have tried to incentivize the purchase of electric vehicles, and that really hasn't worked that well. So I think this is just a bit more of a draconian step. I think we're going to have to go electric, and some governments in Europe are going to force people into electric vehicles.
Hmm. And they're saying they're going to, it's 2035 is the date.
Yeah, that may prove early because other countries are talking about 2040. We'll see where that falls. It could happen. If there's any sort of economic slowdown and people can't afford electric vehicles, they're going to have to take that into consideration.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see. But that's a good target, I guess.
Mm-hmm. And how much will this reduce air pollution and fossil fuel emissions? Will it really make a dent?
That's a good question. One of the interesting things is that the thing on a car that creates the most pollution is the tires.
Oh, is that right?
That's not going to change.
Is
yeah,
that
they
right?
They kick off all sorts of particulate and stuff when they scrub the ground. Cars just aren't that dirty anymore. But there is still carbon emissions that come out of vehicles. So if they're being powered by, you know, if the electricity is coming from something like clean propane or nuclear power, well, then, yeah, this is a huge step forward. But ultimately, we still have the question to deal with of what are we going to do with these batteries when there are a lot more of them.
Right.
They're relatively energy intensive to build, and they're difficult to strip and to recycle. So, yeah, I mean, ultimately, electric vehicles are far more efficient, and they're far more clean. But cars aren't the only problem. So this isn't the panacea for the environment, but it certainly does take care of one of the problems.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll see what happens. And that's out of Britain right there. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. We would love for you to join us. If you have questions about car-related questions or automotive, or you're going to get a car and you want some advice, Tom is here, 312-981-7200 for talk and text. So the Corvette, the Chevrolet Corvette C8 is back to life.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, things stalled. They were ready to get into production, and that General Motors strike that lasted for, what was that, 6-8 weeks, really slowed things down. But the Corvette assembly line is now cranking out vehicles, and the first vehicles should be in showrooms, and there might even be a couple in the hands of lucky owners.
Mm-hmm. Well, tell us about the car itself.
Yeah, so we just talked about this. This is the C8, or the eighth generation of the Corvette, and recent redesigns of the Corvette have not attracted as much fanfare as they probably could have, but I think that the Corvette was starting to lose the attention of the general enthusiast and the buying public in general. But now they've moved to this mid-engine design, and for whatever reason, the car has just caught fire, and people just love it.
Wow.
It's getting great reviews. I haven't driven it yet myself, but I hope to do it in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah.
But it's getting great reviews. It's fascinating to look at. But the best part about this thing is they've kept the price really, really... I can't believe it's under 60 grand, $59,995.
Wow.
Which is insanely affordable when you consider the vehicles that it competes against, because it on the track it should go up against the likes of Ferrari and McLaren and Lamborghini for a quarter of the price.
Yeah, wow. Okay. And yes, so that's they're being made, and people will start getting those, or be able to get those cars, what, in 2021 maybe?
The cars should be being delivered now as 2020 models.
Oh, okay.
So it's going to be a fairly short 2020 model year, because this should wrap up by August or September, this model year.
Okay.
So it'll be a short model year. And then 2021 should be full production. And then, interestingly, we're going to see a right-hand drive version for the first time.
Oh.
For a few lucky markets that don't normally get cars like the Corvette.
Wow, okay. That's cool. All right.
Yeah.
We got some texts are coming in, and we got some people on the line who have questions for Tom. 312-981-7200. We'll be happy to get to all your texts and your phone calls. 847 says sends a text, Tom, that says, "I have a friend who thinks she can buy a used car in quote unquote good condition for $2,000. Is she nuts?"
Yeah, kind of.
So that's just not possible.
No, there's not a lot out there for $2,000 anymore. it depends what you're looking for. If you're willing to take the risks, I mean, you can buy a car for $1,000, I guess. But if you're looking for something that's generally reliable and something you can count on, these days you really got to be coming up with $5,000 to $10,000.
Mm, okay.
It's just a shame. But cars are very expensive now.
Okay, so yeah, she's nuts. That's the conclusion that we've come to. right. Tom Appel is with us from Consumer Guide Automotive. I loved when Tom's on. It's just a lot of fun and interesting, and he's very helpful as well. And if you have a text or a call for a question about cars in general, 312-981-7200. It's the Nick DiGiulio Show continuing right here on 720 WGN. Nick DiGiulio Show continues right here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Skyline studio here till 4 a.m. At 4 a.m., we head over to Bradley Place, our buddies over at the TV side of WGN, and hear that first hour of the early morning TV news. And then at 5 o'clock, Bob Surratt has your morning drive. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Tom Appel from Consumer Guide Automotive is with us for his monthly visit, talking about automotive news and answering your questions about cars and related things like that. So text or call us at 312-981-7200. Tom, a couple more texts here. 218 area code. This is an interesting one, Tom.
Okay.
Worst road trip you ever had. We've never talked about that before. I mean, so what, did you, you ever have a, I mean, we've all kind of had a nightmare road trip at some point in our lives.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And any auto journalist from Chicago can tell you about a trip, maybe several trips, going from Chicago to Detroit for the Detroit Auto Show.
Yeah.
In the first week in January.
Oh.
And running into some lake effect blizzard that made life just unbearable and delayed their trip 3 hours, and we didn't get there on time.
Oh, man.
We've literally, it was a few years ago, we literally ran into an ice storm where we had to just pull over and ride it out on the side of the road.
Oh, man, that's scary. That's scary. Did you do a lot of road trips with your family and stuff?
We did, and my parents were crazy for a couple of reasons, because my dad was insanely frugal. So we went from Chicago to California in a pop with a 1970 Nova and a Coleman pop-up camper.
That's a long drive, man.
The thing I could never, my father always insisted that we wanted, we could fly out there, but then we'd only be able to stay out there for a week because of the cost, or we could drive for 2 weeks because of the money we saved. I'm like, the whole idea of staying at a hotel with a pool seemed like really cool to me.
Yeah.
But no, we had the pop-up camper.
That's fantastic. That is fantastic. Yeah, my parents, drove everywhere. We drove everywhere. Lots of road trips. And I think one of the most memorable ones was my dad had his a Torino. He had a Grand Torino.
Okay.
And we drove that thing. I can't remember what year it was. It had to be like a 68 or a 69 because this was in 1972. So maybe it was a 1970. I'm not sure. But we drove that thing to Florida. And that was one of the more memorable road trips. So that's pretty funny. I remember, I dated a girl who was from Michigan. She was from Grand Haven. And we drove from Chicago to Grand Haven for Christmas. And that loop around Indiana, forget it. You were talking about whiteouts, running into a blizzard. That little hook around Lake Michigan there, when you're in through Indiana, getting up to Michigan, is ridiculous.
It makes you wonder about living in Valparaiso. Is the weather always bad in Valparaiso?
Yeah, that's a good question.
It seems like it should be.
Yeah. Okay, Suzanne in Wheeling sent in a text that says, can you please ask Tom his thoughts on the Lexus NX?
Oh, okay. The Lexus NX is Lexus's compact crossover. And for whatever reason, it's not quite as popular as other Lexus models or the BMW X3 or the Audi Q5, which it competes against. It's a nice little car. I like it a lot. Just drove one with I drove the hybrid version, and I liked it a lot. I don't know why people don't love it. It's a pretty good deal for that category. The fuel economy is good. It's not quite as sporty as it looks, perhaps. That's the problem. I don't know. But definitely test drive it.
Okay. Very, very good. Okay, here's Larry on WGN. Hi, Larry.
Hi, good morning.
Morning.
Hey, what I've had it for 39 years. I have a 1950 Buick. The model is a Super. The radiator started leaking. I've taken it out. I've taken it to two repair shops. They said they cannot repair it. How can I get a new radiator? Everybody's telling me I could get a new one, an aluminum one, but I can't find one.
Huh, I don't know. But I know people that can find out. If you want to send me an email through ConsumerGuide.com, I will look into that for you. Because the guy in the office next to me, John Beal, is our collect-a-car guy, and I bet you he can point you in the right direction.
Oh, that'd be great. So send him an email, Larry.
So Consumer.com?
ConsumerGuide.com.
Yeah, go to that website, and then where it says contact us, just send me an email.
Okay, Larry?
Okay, thank you.
Okay, there you go. Larry, ConsumerGuide.com. That's where you can go. Here's Kenny on WGN. Hi, Kenny. Kenny?
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. Hey, Tom, how you doing?
I'm good, thank you.
Good. What do you know about, or how much do you know about the new cars and the manufacturers now coming out with subscription services for items that are considered essential to when you purchase a vehicle?
Are you talking specifically about a story regarding Tesla and them licensing a vehicle, that licensing as an option that really should have been purchased?
I'm talking about, like, I've gone through a horror event with a friend of mine who bought a new RAV4, and we found out she wanted the limited top of the line. Well, the bottom line is she thought the remote start would work on the key fob. That didn't work. There's all kinds of problems, and we found out you got to load the app on the phone and start it that way, and that didn't work. And bottom line is she traded the car in. She found a courtesy Highlander that didn't have all this remote connect stuff, and it just seems that there's an additional revenue stream coming in down the line on a yearly or a 3-year basis for you to keep the car or for you to have these features keep current with the car.
Yeah, I see what you're talking about. And there are a fair number of features that are, in fact, a license or subscription-based. There's satellite radio. There's telematic systems where you might ask for turn-by-turn navigation, something like that, or emergency contact info. There's also BMW for a while was actually charging a subscription fee to use Apple CarPlay or Android Auto, which was very weird. But we're going to see more and more of these as these things are no longer hard physical options and more software-based. And it has to do with the manufacturer actually owning that or if they're licensing it. Mm. So to some extent, when you sell a vehicle, you're going to lose some of these things, and the new owner is going to have to decide whether or not he wants to re-up for those things.
Ah, okay. All right, Kenny, thanks for the call. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Hey, by the way, Tom,
yeah.
I drive in with my parents and drive home because we're neighbors, so they give me a lift because I don't drive. And have we ever talked about, because we take the Kennedy, back here from downtown to my place. And have we ever talked about those clever little signs that that are up that tell you to put your seatbelt on or whatever? Do you know what I'm talking about?
No, I don't think we have.
Because they're all there. I don't know who programs them or who writes them, but they're all punny now and funny and wacky. Have you noticed that?
I haven't, because they've been blank until very recently. The last time I was downtown, I was on the air with Steve and Johnny a few weeks ago, and driving back, they were all blank still.
Really? Because
they're
lined up on the Kennedy, because we take the Kennedy from down here all the way up to Irving Park Road, and there are like at least five or six of them. They all very clever now. Like the other one yesterday, it was don't speed and come in like a lion because it was March 1st. So it was like, don't seem come in like a up like a lion. Slow down, you know. And they, and it's just, you know, telling you to drive safely or put your seatbelt on. But they're now doing it in really, really weirdly pun like and clever ways. And my dad, my dad gets a kick out of it every time. And he reads them and just goes, "That's." I just goes, but I don't know if you've noticed that. Keep your eyes peeled next time you're.
I will. I don't know how I've missed those because I love stuff like that.
Yeah, it's they're great, you know. And then it tells you, you know, like it'll have that, you know, that that punny little clever little sentence, and then it'll tell you 6 minutes to O'Hare or whatever. And then it switches back again. So.
Yeah, that's got to be effective marketing because we're talking about it.
Yeah, no, exactly. Exactly. Okay, so I love this headline. From the Chicago Tribune, would a free milkshake get you to ignore your phone while driving? That's a good question.
It is, yeah. I'm fascinated by this, and I wonder if there aren't big problems looming for this particular piece of software. This is the This App Saves Lives app.
Okay.
Yeah, it's fascinating, and it's an app designed to reward people for not looking at their phone while they're driving. It apparently, the app can determine when it's on your phone and activated. It can determine when you are in a moving vehicle, and it can determine if you are doing anything besides listening to music, using navigation, or using a hands-free call. So the idea behind the app is that, given that it has certain partners that want to advertise through the app, it will reward you over time for not using your phone while you're driving. And one of the things, apparently, is a milkshake from Shake Shack.
That's awesome.
It is awesome.
Yeah.
But I'm wondering, I always see the dark side of things. I'm wondering if this can't also be used against you if you decide to use your phone, like if that data can be picked up or used by someone else.
Oh, yeah. That's true.
Boy, I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you something about these, about the technology. I know I sound like an old man, but that's really what this app can do. It can tell if you're in a moving vehicle. It can tell what you're doing. That's really crazy.
It is crazy. And to some extent, even like my daughter, who's a super smart kid, doesn't fear things like this enough, in my opinion. Like, she's just not quite paranoid enough.
Right. Right.
Now, my parents, they're super paranoid, and yeah. I think that I think I balance the two a little bit. We should be leery of this stuff.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. I totally agree. So, all right. Well, I just thought that that article was pretty interesting.
And that's really cool, and I hope it works.
I hope it works, and I hope everybody enjoys their. By the way, Shake Shack has great shakes.
I've never had one. I've heard very good things.
They have really and good burgers too. I mean, I love Shake Shack. There's one like not far from here, right around the corner. So. All right, it's not open now, though, Tom.
Oh.
Tom Appel is with us. Always a great time to talk with Tom. Any car or automotive-related questions, 312-981-7200 for talk and text. Got more car news to talk about as well with Tom. Always great to have Tom Appel on. And check out ConsumerGuide.com. The Nick DiGilio Show continues.
Said me a few choice words. All about that demon automobile, the metal monster with the polyglass wheels, the end result of the dream of Henry Ford. Well, now I've got a car that's mine alone, to be in the finance company owned, a ready-made pile of manufactured grief. And if I ain't out of gas in a pouring rain, I'm a change in a flat in a hurricane. I once spent 3 days lost on a clover leaf. Well, it ain't just the smoke.
Jerry Reed. That's Jerry Reed, right? Yeah. He writes a lot of songs about driving. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Nick DiGilio here live in the Skyline studio on 720 WGN. Tom Appel from Consumer Guide Automotive is with us. You like Jerry Reed, Tom?
I do. I don't know that song, though.
Yeah. What is that song?
It's called Lord Mr. Ford.
Lord Mr.
Oh.
Ford.
Yeah, Lord Mr. Ford. Where he
worth
complained.
Knowing. That's
yeah.
Cool.
Oh, okay. Well, you go. All right. I got some texts here, Tom.
Okay.
Okay. Says, hi, have you seen and tested the new Chevy Blazer? So what do you think? Did they downsize it? How does it handle? Is it comfortable? So basically, Chevy Blazer.
Yeah, I have, and I like it. The Blazer is an old name brought back for a midsize crossover that slots between the Chevy Equinox and the much larger Chevy Traverse. It's being called by other people and me sort of the Monte Carlo of the Chevy crossover lineup because it's really roomy up front, and it doesn't have all that much cargo space. So it's a little bit of an indulgent purchase for a crossover, but it's still very functional. I like it a lot. It gets a little bit pricey in higher trim levels, but it rides and handles very well, and it's worth a look.
Okay. 630 says, I was thinking of buying a Jeep Wrangler. I love the way they look, but are they as bad as I keep hearing?
The Wrangler is the car I want to buy myself, and I don't want anyone else to purchase. Just because I would never recommend that. They're compared to other crossovers and other SUVs, they're just a little rough, a little bit trucky. I mean, they're serious off-road vehicles,
yeah,
and they've gotten much more refined over the years, but it's still fairly serious off-road vehicle. Fuel economy not great, but that's gotten better too. If you derive joy from driving this thing like I do, it makes perfect sense, but there are better ways to get around.
Okay. You guys wrote an article in the blog about America's last manual transmission vehicles.
Yeah.
Tell us about that.
Yeah, well, I couldn't believe this. I was just checking how many American models are still available with a manual transmission, and the answer is 7.
7?
Just 7.
Oh, man.
That's it. That's the total. And this came about because someone from Green Car Reports, which is an excellent website, determined that last year in 2019, electric vehicles outnumbered the number of vehicles available with a manual transmission or sold with a manual transmission.
Mm.
So stick is truly dead.
Wow.
And I know there's this powerful underground movement to try to save the manuals, but nothing is going to come of it because the manual transmission doesn't work with hybrids, it doesn't work with autonomous vehicles, it doesn't work with a lot of safety features, and it doesn't work with stop-start stuff. So
yeah, so I learned to drive stick for no reason.
Yeah, you and me both, yeah.
I think it's fun to drive stick.
I love it.
Yeah.
I love it. And I do miss it. I know I sound caustic when I talk about this because there's just no saving stick.
Yeah.
But I do truly miss it.
Yeah, no, me too. I used to love driving stick. It's fun. And it's also fun to learn.
Not if you're my daughter. She still resents me.
She knows how to drive stick, though, right?
She does, yeah. And then I think that's kind of cool.
Yeah, that is pretty cool. That is very, very cool. Kevin and Joliet sent in a text and says, "Hey Tom, I've been looking for a used 4x4. I've been looking at used 4x4 pickups for my son in Colorado who needs a work truck. I was wondering if you know anything as far as the dependability of the Chevy 3.5 and 3.7 inline 5-cylinder engines. And yes, it's nearly impossible to find anything below 4 or 5K that's not a total piece of crap." I've looked at their 12 to 14 years old between 7 and 10 grand.
Okay, so the 3.5 and the 3.7 were really weird engines. Those are inline 5-cylinder engines, and Lord only knows why General Motors chose to go with those for the Colorado pickup. They're also in the GMC Canyon. As far as I know, those are fairly reliable. They're also fairly robust and reasonably fuel efficient. I'm not aware of any particular problems with those engines.
Okay. Well, there you go. Article here from the Chicago Tribune again, talking about car color.
Yeah.
And do they rate color? They do color of the year?
Apparently Pantone does a color of the year.
Yeah.
That Pantone's a fascinating company, and I work at a publishing house, so we're all about Pantone there.
Yeah.
But Pantone apparently picks a color of the year every year that extends down to things automotive. And apparently Lincoln has decided to respond to that because Lincoln has been largely selling and promoting its vehicles in blue. The color this year was blue.
Mm-hmm.
And Lincoln's been doing a lot of blue. If you've been looking at Lincoln advertising or Lincoln marketing, or you get Lincoln pop-up ads on your computer, you'll see that almost the only color you've seen for the last 18 months is this really nice, slightly metallic, light middle blue.
Mm-hmm.
And Lincoln has almost branded that color. It's really effective for them, and I think it comes off looking very classy.
So anytime you see Matthew McConaughey driving, it'll be in a blue car.
You know, I think it has been. I think all those ads, he's in a light blue car.
Yeah. Wow, that's interesting. What are some of your favorite car colors, Tom?
Almost my all-time favorite color. Jaguar used to do something called British Racing Green, which was a very rich forest green.
Yeah.
And in the 70s and 80s, it looked fantastic on the Jaguar XJ6, which was the company's four-door sedan. Just a beautiful car, but I always liked that color.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm trying to think of any other colors I like right now. Mazda's got a color out right now that it calls Crystal Soul.
Crystal Soul?
Crystal Soul or Crystal Red Soul. Uh-huh. It's something like that. It's an extra-cost color, and it's this very deep pearlescent red, and it's really good-looking on its crossovers.
Yeah. I think my favorite car color that I have owned was my Firebird. It was cranberry. And it had that sort of like a dark red kind of a feel to it.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And the interior was the same. It was like, you know, plastic. It was like the plastic interior. On the inside, and it was like cranberry red, and that was my favorite. Color of car that I've ever had.
Nice, yeah. I had an '85 Scirocco that was a really nice metallic charcoal.
Yeah,
yeah. And it was very.
That's cool.
There's almost some sort of gritty transition to it. It looked fantastic.
Is there a most popular car color out there?
Yeah, sadly. You don't even hear much about that list anymore because it's been stuck in neutral for so long.
Yeah.
But it's almost always silver now.
Is that right?
Yeah, silver, gray tones, and then black and white. those three just dominate. It's just so boring now.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that's funny. All right, so here's another text. Listen to this one. Listen to this one, Tom.
All right.
224 area code says, when two guys tried to jack my car recently, they took one look at the fact that it was manual and they sauntered away. It's like I'm not can't steal this car.
I'm wondering too now if you drive stick if you can valet anymore. I suppose if they hire valets, they have to drive stick. I hope.
I would think, right?
Yeah.
I never even thought of that. What if you're a valet and you can't drive stick?
What has to stink is if you're the only valet working some busy night who does drive stick.
Right, you're the only one, and you got to run. Oh man. Okay, so the last story here is the last Holdens that you guys wrote about on the Daily Drive and the blog. Tell us about that.
Yeah, Holden is the Australian arm of General Motors. It was established in 1931, or actually General Motors purchased the car company in Australia in 1931, and they've been building cars there ever since. Well, General Motors has decided that its investment in Australia didn't make sense anymore, and it's kind of hard to understand how it ever did, because Australia is a really small car market. But for a while, Ford, Chrysler, and General Motors were building cars there. But none of them are doing that now, and General Motors has recently announced the fact that it is pulling out entirely of Australia.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so what I've got there is a list of the last vehicles in Australia, including maybe the right-hand drive Corvette we were just talking about, if Holden lasts long enough for them to get some cars there.
Wow. See, you would think, the country that brought us Mad Max would have more driving, don't you think?
Part of the problem is Australia's right-hand drive.
Oh.
And General Motors has been backing away from right-hand drive markets, so it doesn't really have any manufacturing volume in right-hand drive. So actually keeping that country fed with product is troublesome.
That's interesting, man.
Yeah, it's weird.
Why is Australia? That's very strange.
It is, yeah. And they're getting their cars now largely from Mitsubishi, Honda, and Toyota.
Oh. Wow. Okay. That's random.
It kind of is, but those are all right-hand drive cars out of Japan, so
okay.
It kind of works.
There you go.
And the proximity is good, too.
Yeah, okay. All right. Well, Tom, always a pleasure, my friend, and people can check out consumerguide.com, check out the blog, all the stories that we talked about will be covered, and you guys are writing stuff and testing cars and doing and driving and doing all that cool stuff. And, Tom, we will talk to you again next month.
Sounds good. Thanks, Nick.
Okay, buddy. Tom Appel from Consumer Guide Automotive. He's great. Just so great and so informative and so entertaining. Consumerguide.com is the website. Nick DiGilio Show continues on 720 WGN.